you don't lose, you know? It's like,
how are y'all doing?
Unless you're Dallas, and then ties are just as good as all, or wins.
It's time to breathe again on the latest Popo Sports webcast, streaming on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitch. You see me and Patrick. I almost said me, Patrick, and you, Charles.
You, Patrick, you, Charles.
Yeah. And so we were responding as we were coming on air. We were responding to Aaron's comments. Aaron, by the way, great to see you on board. Oh, and before we get into some of those comments you made, can you post the link to your documentary?
Yeah, dude, I have been looking for that thing for 2 days, and I still can't find it.
Yeah.
So, I dropped everything I could think of, and I couldn't find it. So I was like, yeah, we'll just ask for the link.
Yeah, so can you post that link, please? And we will be sure to take a look at it. We're really looking forward to it. We were trying to find it, and yeah, we couldn't find it. So, yeah, please post that link. We will get to those NFL comments that you have in a second, Aaron. But let's start off, Patrick. Let's jump into these games from last week. And look, so I'm just going to say this. There is a theme. If you saw the title, there is a theme about coaching that is going to be pretty prevalent throughout this webcast. We're going to go to the aggressive part here, the overly aggressive part. Because in the
You overuse the word coaching.
Okay. All right. Cool. We'll go.
Oh, well, okay. That would make sense. The reason why I couldn't find it. I was looking for the school name.
Yeah. So, all right. Yep. So we'll go ahead and look for that. Appreciate it, Aaron. And here's what we got, Patrick. So in your game, Georgia's game against Alabama, here's the aggressive part. So I think, number one, look, I'm not trying to say we in Texas are just great. We got our own damn problems. But
doesn't every team have their own problem?
Yes,
exactly. Tennessee's is Georgia. Georgia's is Alabama. Alabama's is Vandy. Vandy's is everybody else.
But with Georgia, slow starts have killed y'all in these games. It's almost
in one word. One word, two letters. Bobo.
It's almost like it takes y'all a while to get into the game, and then when y'all get into the game, not trying to say us in Texas is a highly suspicious. That's funny. Yes, slow starts have kind of crushed y'all. Y'all been able to jump back in or get back into the game, but Aaron, it's not. Hey. No, Aaron, no.
Prerequisites. No. Fast cars is prerequisites for Georgia.
I will not allow that, Aaron. No, this is off the field is where they drive fast cars.
So, it'd be nice if we could drive cars on the field.
Yeah, the slow starts, and normally y'all been able to overcome them. It just didn't happen this time against Bama. But y'all did have a chance. It was 24-21, and I just feel sometimes it's okay to kick the field goal. It's okay. Take the field goal. I understand you want to be aggressive if you're Kirby Smart, but if you're going to make that play, can we have some other running back in besides your third down one? I mean, can we have McCray or Brady?
Yeah, like how do you not put McCray in that position if you're going to go for it? I mean, look, Nick Saban said it better than anybody. He's like, look, when he was coaching Alabama, he would come in and he's like, there's one game I never had to get those boys up for, and it was Georgia. So this is the way I kind of look at it. I mean, so I looked at Alabama. And I still think Alabama's going to take three losses. Mm-hmm. I still do. Why we are struggling with Alabama, I don't know. It's like something is just floating there, and we just can't beat them. We just can't beat them. I mean, How do you score 24 points, or you let them score 24 points in the first half? They don't score anything in the second half, and you still lose. So at this point, we said it last week. Until Georgia beats this team four or five times in a row, I won't pick them again. As a matter of fact, it won't even come on my radar anymore as a pick to even go against, because it's crazy to sit here and watch this Georgia team, as powerful as this offense is, as great as, I say as great as this defense is, but the defense sucks. The defense is horrendous. And until it's the second half, I don't get it. So I don't think it's a Nick Saban thing anymore. I just think it's just Alabama is in Kirby Smart's head. And until we get rid of Bobo, and until I can't even think of our defensive coordinator's name, but that dude sucks. I would much rather have, I'd much rather have a retarded monkey out there coaching that. That's stupid. I mean, the defense is horrendous. Nobody even got any pressure on the quarterback. I was so frustrated with that game. I was like, whatever. At that point, whatever.
So I think this, again, it goes back to the slow starts. And, yeah, when you get into the second half, yeah, Bama didn't score again in the game after getting the 24 points in the first half. I think.
And by all rights, that game should have been Georgia 28-27.
Yeah, but, again, man, I just think with those, sometimes – There was a time where there was not much, I guess, aggressiveness. Or like, man, maybe the play calling was a little bit, I'll go smarter. Play calling was a little bit smarter. A little bit back in the day. But now with all the numbers that have come in, with everything that's going on with analytics, everybody wants to go for it. Just go. And again, it is okay to kick the field goal. It was fourth and goal. It's not like it was fourth and goal from the goal line. It was fourth and goal from
four.
No, fourth and one. It was fourth and one from like the seven.
Yeah.
And it's okay. Just kick the field goal there. You could tie the game up at 24. And it's not even that part, Patrick. It's not even about being aggressive. That was the worst thing about it. But if you're going to run that play again, your money guys, your best players have to be in there if you're going to do that. Now, I guess he wanted to say, well, we substitute, then Alabama can substitute, and then they can match up things, and then they can take their time running off the field and fake injuries and all that other stuff that happens during substitutions now. But even still, your best players have to be in there.
Yep.
You cannot run that play with your third down back. All the mother running backs are to have, and he ran it with the third down back. I did that one. I didn't.
There's dude, and that third and three, and he wants to sling a bubble pass. I was like, dude, I can't do it with this anymore with this Bobo dude. Like, Georgia is calling. I told everybody, I was like, look, if Kirby Smart doesn't fire the offensive coordinator and the defensive coordinator, I'd fire him. Period. I'm tired of dealing with this crap, because Georgia fans, we're not expecting every game to be a win. We're not at that level. We're not Alabama. We don't get pissed off when we lose. We're a little frustrated with the way we lose. That's where we're frustrated with. But I would say this, like, at a certain point, like, I don't give a crap how many championships you've won. Like, if you don't fire these two, I will fire you. That's it, because these two cannot. They're not that good. They're just not. And for a defensive minded head coach as Kirby Smart walking out on that field, I would tell you, like, we may win some games, but nobody's scoring over 15 points. I can tell you that. And with that defensive mind, you shouldn't be giving up 44 points with Tennessee. I don't care how high powered they are. With that defense, you shouldn't. Alabama, you shouldn't be giving up 24 points. They should get a touchdown, maybe a touchdown and a field goal, 10 max. That team is that good. They should be winning. But whatever the case may be, Kirby Smart likes to go for stupid plays, man. It's like you said, if you're gonna go for 4th and 1, put your men in there. Put the guys that got you there, put them in, let them do their job, and move on. But I don't know. It seems like every time we go against Alabama, this is what we do. Something stupid. Every time.
And while Georgia has issues with maybe over-aggressive coaching, we got to go to the king of the conservative coaching up there in Penn State. Need to tell me.
It frustrated me too.
So you need to tell me. It's 17-3. And I was going back and forth between that game and your game with Bama. And the play calling in those first three quarters, it's Ohio State and Michigan all over again. Very, very short passes. Mm-hmm. Running the ball all the time on first down. And Oregon, like, against Oregon, you need to score. Like, it's just one of those things. Oregon is going to score points in some way, shape, or form. The defense did good to hold them to 17 as it was. But coming up into the fourth quarter. And then all of a sudden, let's open up the playbook. So now you get a touchdown, you get another touchdown, and then you go to overtime, and you're able to score. You get a touchdown to go up 24-17. Oregon answers back, and then they scored on the first possession of the second overtime, and then just not a good pass by Drew Aylor. Like, that ball could have been intercepted twice. Mm-hmm. But Penn State probably should not have been in that situation if it wasn't for those three quarters of just very conservative play calling. And with James Franklin, if you're going to sit in a press conference afterwards, and this goes on your view on the Georgia fans, because I know another dude, you know, one of my other friends, he actually lives in Bama, but he's a huge Bulldogs fan. He tells me the same thing. Bobo gotta go. But
every Georgia fan, if you're not saying Bobo gotta go, I'm literally was thinking about putting that on a shirt. Bobo gotta go, and see if it sells. I'm dead serious. I guarantee you, I'd be a million. You know what? I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna put it out there. I'm gonna make me a shirt that says Bobo gotta go, and I'm gonna put a Nike check on that shit and ship it out. And I guarantee you, if you are a Georgia fan, You're buying that shirt. Bobo gotta go.
But if you're back on Penn State, though, isn't that looking? And that was my fault.
Because you get me on a rant with that.
I know.
Bobo gotta go.
I'm sorry. Yeah, but that was me rant baiting you there.
You did a good job too.
But if you're James Franklin and you're sitting there at the end of the press conference, talking about you get it with the fans' reaction to it, apparently you don't, because you keep doing the same thing, trying to expect different results. When you get into these big games, you continue to start off ultra conservative. You're not going down the field at all. You're not even running like a tempo, something just to spice things up. But it's just the same, just let's go, let's get in our huddle, and then we'll run some running game real quick, and then that's it. And then the fans, and this is your wideout game, of course, as well. The fans are just sitting there like they don't have anything to really cheer about. So now they got to try to enhance something, try to manufacture something in the hope that the team gives them something on offense, but it's just not happening. And this is the story over and over and over again with James Franklin. And then you go into a press conference. I get it with the fans' frustration. You don't.
Apparently you don't.
No.
and you know you'll never hear any other coach say that. Because they don't get it. Because if you did, you would change. You would change your mindset. It's you got with Franklin, man. We've said this many times. I don't understand this dude. I do not understand why he gets in these games. And now there's a third team. It used to be just two. Now there's three. You got Ohio State, Michigan, and now you got Oregon. And this guy cannot get past them.
Aaron says that game was like the LSU-Bama game.
of the century, 12-9, which was all
field goals. Yeah, I remember that.
I don't even know if it was 12-9. It might have been 9-6.
I think it was 12-9.
It was 9-6. That was 2011, that game. I think that was 9-6. I just think when it comes down to...
I don't understand how you know that crap, dude.
You know I have that, well...
Hey, what'd you do yesterday? Oh, no. Who won the last 50 Super Bowls? You want me to start from the first one? Green Bay.
You know I'm like Wikipedia in the brain with this? But yeah, it was 9-6.
9-6, and LSU won in overtime. Even worse. LSU wins in overtime, 9-6. Ooh, what a thrilling game.
And so, yeah, look.
Top of America was asleep by then.
And so I just think after a while, when do you see what you are doing when you play? You're playing everybody else, when whoever it might be, anybody who's not Ohio State, Michigan, and apparently Oregon now. You're going out there and you're trying to run up the score. How many times have we seen Penn State score 35, 40 points against everybody else? And then when it gets to these games, nope, we're not going to be aggressive at all.
35? I don't want to score 35 points. How about 9-6?
Yeah.
It's like ultra conservative. We'll hold them to 6 points. We'll win by 3, 9-6. Triple overtime. Let's go.
I just think with the coaching, man, players go out there, of course, yes, they have to execute what is being called. But you as a coach, your job is to make sure you put your team in the best possible position to win. When you are going out there, basically to play, not to lose. And look, I know, look, every coach is going to say, well, we have these game plans. We're going out there to win. That's why you put the game plans together. Yeah, in theory. But when you start watching it live, you see something's not working, because you can figure that out in the first quarter. And if something's not working, you can make adjustments. You know? You just continue to do the same thing. And now this has been years of the same thing. At some point, there's going to have to be some changes, or you're going to continue to be, well, what do they call it? Happy Valley. It's going to continue to be Sad Valley. All the time.
Oh, I saw what you did there.
Yeah, man, that's a one. Yeah,
Sad Valley.
And it's back in the archives. I wouldn't use that on no mixtape.
Yeah, but, comment that starts domestic violence.
Right. But but other games before we move on to this coming week, you have. Yes, there we go. Okay, my bad. I lost track of the game. Ole Miss beating LSU. There we go. Ole Miss was able to knock LSU out, and kind of the same thing, man. The LSU's offense. Yeah, look, Garrett Nussmeier. I've been hearing a lot when we were coming into the season, oh, this could be a Heisman Trophy candidate. Not seeing that
at all.
He constantly throws in the coverage.
I'm going to tell you, man, if you're asking me who's Heisman front run winner right now, Joey Ayer, man. That dude is for real. I mean, dude, he's thrown 5 picks, right? 4 of those are not even his fault.
And in that game between them and Mississippi State, sneaky good.
Yeah, it was sneaky.
That game went into overtime as well.
Yep. There was a bunch of games that went into overtime.
Yep. Indiana and Iowa was actually a pretty good one. Indiana almost got caught, but they were able to pull it out.
Yeah, almost. Hey, and shout out to Vandy, 5-0.
What? Yeah. We're going to find out a little bit about Vandy coming on up here.
And yeah, so, we're going to find out a little bit about, dude. You know how I am about SEC games? I don't really root. I'll be rooting for Vandy. I hope Vandy just smashes them. I hope Vandy smashes them. They're going to be out for revenge from last year, but man, I hope Vandy throws. I hope Vandy throws 55 again. Well, and that Ty Simpson, as he's walking out of Georgia, I hope he throws 7 interceptions.
So as we're speaking of that, let's look at our great graphic here. I can't
Here. Pull it up.
But here's where we're
at. I went 3-3 again.
Yes, you did. You went 3-3 again. So the games that you missed, I missed them too. Duke and Syracuse.
Oh, dude, Duke, man.
Yeah.
What a team, dude.
Yeah,
what
Duke destroyed Syracuse. In Syracuse.
Yeah, in Syracuse,
But, yes, of course, the Georgia one and then the Oregon-Penn State one. So those are the ones we both missed. The one that put you up by one for the week was the USC-Illinois game where Illinois was able to win on a last-second field goal. So they won 34-32. And that's what made your record 3-3. Mine's 2-4. So you are 11-7 overall. I am 7-11 overall. And notice this, Patrick. So you notice on the bottom of the graphic, I put much match with the predicted winner. Here's why I said that. For the Oregon-Penn State game, you predicted the correct score.
I know.
You actually said 30-24, except you have Penn State winning. And so,
so you had to put the parentheses in there, right?
Because Patrick, I know you, and you're gonna ask, do we get points?
I wouldn't ask that. I'd ask something stupid, more stupid than that. Look, how about if I get points for like going 3-3? How about I get extra points for 6-0? How about that? I wouldn't. We all know we got to pick the winner and the score.
Hey, Patrick, you know you sent those texts before, like, hey, Charles, I picked the right score. Does that count? No, Patrick, Oregon won, not Penn State. You sent me those texts before.
I have. But on camera, I wouldn't ask that.
Okay, on camera.
On camera, I wouldn't ask that.
All right, Patrick. So let's get into our six for the picks. Who is first on your list?
I keep winning, don't I?
Yes, you do. I can't even sit here and deny this. It's like, yeah, he does keep on winning. So,
right. Where are we going to start? How about we start here? Miami and Florida State. I think this is going to be a good game. Florida State, after taking that loss to Virginia, man.
Nice field storming in Virginia.
Dude, they didn't give him a chance to even get – dude. Yeah, they didn't even give him a chance. He barely even got the interception before it was like they were on the field.
I'm like, oh, he trampled. Oh,
yeah,
oh,
he's done. Trampled. He's done. Oh, God. I was like, man, get that guy a medic. he's in trouble. He is in trouble. Though this is gonna be a good game. After that loss to Virginia, I think Florida State's going to be playing with a chip on their shoulder, especially when playing at home. To be honest with you, I think this is like Miami's first real test. You know what I mean? And I'd like to see what Miami can really do against a defense that Florida State has. I'm going to go... I mean, is the U back?
I don't think
the U back.
Not yet.
I'm gonna go Florida State, man. I think Florida State beats them. I'm gonna go Florida State 20. I'm gonna go Florida State 28-25. But I mean, I think the game's going to be, I think the game's going to be staying, I think it stays close, especially with them playing in Florida State, wanting that revenge from what Virginia just did to them. I don't think that that defines Florida State as a bad team. I just think Virginia just played well. They really, really did. And they held off what Florida State kept throwing at them. So, and it was a high score. And I think both teams were in like 40, right?
Yeah, it was 46-38.
46-38.
Two overtimes.
Two overtimes before Virginia could finally put them away. But I think that Florida State team is pretty good. So I'm gonna go Florida State 28-25.
Love the score. I was thinking something similar. I guess, well, that makes up for that TCU Arizona State game where I kind of took their score.
And they're playing in Florida State, so.
Yes. And so with that, like you said, Miami hasn't even left Miami. They played all their games in Miami so far. So yeah, now they're going to go up to Tallahassee. And yeah, I think Florida State, it was one of those situations. You're going up to Virginia. Friday night game, crowd hyped up there in Charlottesville. It was going to be tough.
It was a gotcha game. It really was. It was a gotcha game.
Yep. And they got got. But like you said, I agree with you. I don't think that means Florida State is a bad team. I don't think it means they're a fraudulent team. I think Florida State is pretty good. And with this game, one of the ultimate rivalry games. We remember all those tapes, all those games back in the day, the wide rights and all that. And both of these teams now are at a stage where they're good again. Said we're not quite ready to say the U is back, but they're trying to make sure we do say the U is back. Mm-hmm. And winning this game in Tallahassee would go a long way.
Boozer? You?
But I think they will have to wait a week as well. I do have Florida State winning this, and I think it's going to be – I think it'll be a little bit higher scoring. I'm going to go 31-28. Yeah. No, 31-27. I'll go 31-27 Florida State here, and they will get back on track from that tough double overtime loss in Virginia. And if Miami does go on and lose, it'll be one of those things. I'll say the same thing that we're saying about Florida State coming into this week from their loss to Virginia. Doesn't mean Miami is a bad team. I just think this is one of those rivalry games, and it could go either way. Yeah. And I just think it'll go for it.
And you got to give a lot of credit to Carson Beck and how he's running that offense in Miami. But like you said, they haven't been on the road yet. I think this is where I don't think it's a gotcha game. I just think that Florida State is just I think they're going to be playing with a bigger chip on their shoulder than Miami is.
Yes, sir. All right. Well, this is my turn. Let's go here, Patrick. Texas Tech.
I knew it.
Yes. We got to go there.
It was going to be my second game if you didn't pick it.
It wasn't. Texas Tech and Houston. So Texas Tech has been playing well. Houston's been playing well, too. So both of them are undefeated coming into this game. Big 12 showdown down in H-Town.
Houston, you ride or die with your team.
Yeah, well, mine just TCU. But to win the Big 12.
Oh, yeah. You're done.
Yeah, you're not done.
Yeah.
But hey, this is that conference, the Big 12 conference. Just don't know what direction it's going to go in. But this game will tell a nice little story. I think looking at the matchup, Houston's offense is pretty good. Mm-hmm. Don't know how good their defense is to hold up against what Texas Tech is bringing. Although, with them playing in Houston, that defense might be able to get a few turnovers. Mm-hmm. If Texas Tech is going to be that team that showed up in Utah forcing fumbles and holding Utah to 10 points, Texas Tech could win the Big 12 if that's how they're going to
play.
If that's how they're going to play.
And if that defense shows up every week like that, that's the question. And, you know, we're in the Big 12 now. So does that defense show up or?
or it goes back to 55-50.
Yeah, 55-54.
So
at the end of the first half.
So with this one, I'm going to go. Huh?
I said hang a sentry on them boys.
I'm going to go with Texas Tech here. So I think They will win. I don't think this will be a blowout. Houston's going to show up. They're going to play well, especially down there in H-Town. But I think Texas Tech has a little bit too much for them in this case. So I'm going to go. It is Big 12 game. So do I want to put this in the 40s? No, I think the defenses will show up a little bit. So 37-31.
Yeah. Well, I mean, okay. So I bet I do like the score. I do like the score. I looked at this and I was like, you know, because I have Houston winning this conference.
Mm-hmm.
But I am not blind to the fact that I still feel they're going to win the conference, but I think they're going to win it with one loss. And unfortunately, I was thinking that this might be that one loss that they're going to get. Because Texas Tech is good, but there's a couple other teams that I think that I mean, I'll be honest with you, I wouldn't surprise me one bit if this is right here. It's just a little sneak peek to what this conference championship is going to be at the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
So with that being said, hell with it. I'm going in. I'm going to go with Houston. I can't do it. I'm going to go Houston to win this game. I'll go. What was your score?
37-31.
I'm going to go 35-31 Houston.
35-31 Houston. Love it. You know, and so I remember because like last week, because, you know, I have TCU winning that conference, but I knew they weren't going to like go undefeated. So
yeah, I don't think Houston's going to go undefeated either. I mean, like this could be their loss right here. I really do think that they're a good enough team, but I also feel like they could win this game.
They can.
All they need is two turnovers.
Oh yeah, Houston's definitely capable of winning this game. Yeah, absolutely. Like it wouldn't shock me at all if Houston was able to pull this one out. But I think they're going to come up a little bit short.
I think they're going to come up a little bit long.
Yeah.
that extra 4 points that they're going to need to win.
I'm waiting for Aaron to come on through and be like, pause.
hey, Northwestern won last week, didn't they?
Who did?
Northwestern won last week, didn't they?
They did. They beat UCLA.
Yeah. Oh, never mind. It's UCLA. Nico. Mister, I need $4 million so that I can go and throw all these interceptions.
Patrick, what's your next game? What is the next game?
No. Hey, hey, do you think Penn State beat UCLA?
50-3. 50-3 is what I
don't know. I don't even think UCLA even scores, man.
Yeah.
Be honest with you. What was the game? Where was that game? Where was that game? There was a game I was looking at. Let's go. Yeah, you took my game. I was looking at.
My bad.
All right. Well, we'll go here because I think this would be a good game. We'll go Vandy and Alabama.
Okay.
Vandy, strong start, 5-0. I think Vandy's for real, man. I really do. They're not.
I just got that. Aaron's I just caught that.
I did too. It caught me in a. I was like, yeah. What, all caps and everything?
Yeah. Man, Aaron.
Sorry. Hey. Sorry. Hey, look. I'm not saying anything about Northwestern. They came in and they did their job. UCLA just sucks. That is, it's Nico sucks, man.
It's like both things can be true, right?
Yeah. So, Aaron, I apologize. But UCLA does suck. I'm just saying. As real as Vandy is. I would love to see them beat Alabama. I really, really would. My question is after that debacle they had last year, I don't think Alabama is going to lose in Tuscaloosa. So I think Alabama returns the favor to Vandy this week, and I'm going to go Alabama. We'll go 31-21.
31-21? What you have? Okay.
Yeah.
I don't have much to add to it. I feel the same way. Alabama's going to be ready for this one. They're coming down to Tuscaloosa. That feeling of losing to Vandy in Nashville, them taking the goalpost down to the river there.
Yeah.
Downtown. I don't think Bama's forgotten about that at all. And I feel the win they had between the hedges, this win, just like last year, it felt a little bit different. Like, so when they beat y'all last year, it didn't feel like a win where you felt they could be springboarded and it could carry them on through the rest of the season. This one, winning in Athens, winning between the hedges, it feels like a win where Alabama can really draw some momentum, because everyone threw them away after they lost in Tallahassee in week one, pretty much. And for them to come in there, win that game between the hedges, this could be a win where you're looking back. If Alabama is able to make it to the college football playoff, you could look at that win as a springboard. And I think Vandy could run into a buzzsaw here. Diego Pavia is a good quarterback, not get me wrong. I think Vandy's for real, too. Vandy's going to make some noise in the SEC. So if they don't beat Alabama, I think they'll beat somebody. Yeah, they're going to take a few teams. But I'm with you. I do think Alabama will win this one.
Vandy's already beat. Who did they beat? They beat South Carolina.
They took out South Carolina.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, it's going to be tight. I think it'll be a little bit closer. I think the defenses will show up a little bit more in this game as well. So I think it will be, I'm going to go 27-20. Alabama win. But I do think Bama will be ready for this one, for them to come down to Tuscaloosa. Oh, and College Game Day will be at that game.
Yeah, of course.
All right, so I guess it's my turn. How about this one, Patrick? I think this one might be pretty interesting. Virginia at Louisville. Now, we just talked about Virginia winning against Florida State last week. How do you handle success? You got another tough game now, and you're going to Louisville. And Louisville has been kind of under the radar in the ACC. People have been talking about Miami and Georgia Tech. Those two teams still undefeated. Florida State, of course, was in the conversation, still are, but took a little bit hit from their loss to Virginia. So now Louisville is playing Virginia out in Kentucky, and Louisville's got a very good offense. They seem to keep a good offense there. But I like Virginia's running attack too. Overall, I think this is going to be a game that will get into the 30s, maybe the 40s. And I will give the nod to Louisville here. I think Virginia's still partying. And so I think
they are too.
And so I think because they're still partying, they might not get all the partying out in time for this game against Louisville. But Virginia will show up and make this a good game. I got this 38-34 Louisville.
Gone? Oh, I can. Yeah, man, the hangover's for real. I will agree with you. I'll go Louisville. There's not much to say. There ain't much to add to that. I'll go Louisville. I'll go Louisville. I think they win by 7 to 10 points. 38-28.
Gotcha. All right, man. Well, last game for this week.
I'm going to take this one right here, dude. And I think this one's going to surprise you. I don't know if you're going to know if I'm going to pick this one. But this is one of those gotcha games. I really do feel like it. Iowa State and Cincinnati.
Yeah, I got it on there. Yeah.
Oh, you did? Okay. Yeah. So,
as the list of games that could be on there. Yep.
Yeah. So this game is this game is going to be sneaky good. There's really not much to say this one except for let these boys play offense, defense. I mean, these are two good teams fixing to go against each other. And I got a crazy score. I'm going to go Cincinnati, man. I think Cincinnati can beat them. I'm going to go Cincinnati 28-26.
28-26. Okay. Yeah, this was a game I was looking at too, because I sat there, I was just going through the schedule, and I said, and they're playing this one in Cincinnati. Now, if they were playing this game in Ames, in Iowa, I would give Iowa State the nod, and I would say they could probably win by 7 to 10 points.
I'd have Iowa State blowing them out. 10 to 14 points.
But with this game being in Cincinnati, this is one of those games that can sneak up, and if Iowa State is not careful, yeah, they can get got. Bet, their quarterback, has been very, very poised throughout the season, at least leading up to this point. I did get to catch Cincinnati a little bit during their first game when they played Nebraska in the opening week. And from there, and I said, wait a minute, I know Nebraska won that game, but Cincinnati in the Big
12. It was a fight.
Yeah.
That was a fight.
Cincinnati in the Big 12 can make this interesting. Like, they could be right there in that mix of teams that can win that conference, actually. So I am going to go with Iowa State here. It is very, very close. What you have, 28-26?
Yeah.
So I think this will be in the 30s too. I have a lot of high scoring games here. We're going to go.
I got a lot of defense showing up apparently this week.
No. Yeah, I'm going to go. I can see Iowa State pulling this out at the end too, like a last second drive. I'm going to go.
Fire drill.
Yeah, right.
There's only one team that can pull off that fire drill, man. Out to Georgia Tech.
Yeah, speaking of fire drills, yeah, 34-31 is what I got. But would not shock me at all if Cincinnati did win this game. And then, let's see. So it's my turn. Let's go over here. Come on back into the SEC and look at Mississippi State and A&M.
Okay. I thought you were going to Texas, Florida.
No. Nah, I'm pretty confident Texas will win that one, but I'll use this as an upset alert. We need to be careful.
Especially in the swamp.
Yes. We need to be careful there. Now, I'm going to go Mississippi State and A&M here. So I think this game is sneaky good, Patrick, because Mississippi State is, hey, these boys looking like they can play some ball. They almost got Tennessee. Yes, last week in Starkville. A&M, they've been winning. Remember we talked about their game with Notre Dame. They had a tough one with Auburn. Auburn's defense is sneaky good because A&M struggled to score in that game. That game was 16-10. So I think they're going to have to score a little bit more if they're going to beat Mississippi State. But I do think they get it done because their defense is pretty good as well.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go this one. If it gets into the mid-20s, I think that would be kind of an explosion there. Yeah, I'm gonna go 24-17.
That is literally going to be my score, too.
Was it again? I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's going to be my score. because, like you said, I think if it gets into the 30s, I think that's crazy for these two defenses. I don't think either one of those teams could get into the 30s. I mean, no, I take that back. I think both of these teams could get into the 30s because the offenses are pretty powerful. Mm-hmm. But I don't know how well they're going to score on these defenses. You said 24-17. I'm going to go. I think Texas A&M can get it. I think I'm going to go 28-20.
That's a nice score, actually. All right, 28-20. All right, so here's what we got for this week, Patrick. So, in no particular order, but
you start taking a picture of these and send them to me because every time I start watching on Saturdays, I'm like, what was our game? I can't even remember our game. Then I have to go back and watch the show, look at it for a minute, and then I'm sitting there with the show, and then I got ESPN, and then I got this going on, and I got that going on, and I'm like, oh, okay. And then I forget the team anyway, and then I'm just like, I don't remember. I'll just look on Tuesday.
All right, yeah, no problem. I'll send you the picture. Yeah,
I got it. I forget every time that I'm sitting here going, man, maybe I should get Charles to just text him to me.
Yeah, I totally.
And I can totally see him. Because, dude, I get so sidetracked on Saturdays. It's like, I don't even remember what I was watching. Until Georgia comes on, and then it's like laser focused.
I got you, man. Yep, I'll send you the text. With the games in no particular order. So Iowa State and Cincinnati, you have Cincinnati winning 28-26. And I got them winning 34-31. Virginia and Louisville. We both have Louisville winning. You have a score of 38-28. I have 38-34. Vandy and Alabama. We both have Bama winning. You got 31-21. And I have 27-20. Texas Tech and Houston. You have Houston winning 35-31. I got Texas Tech, 37-31. Miami and Florida State, we both have Florida State winning. You got 28-25. I have 31-27. And then Mississippi State and A&M, we both have A&M winning. You have 28-20. I have 24-17.
So, can we disagree on two?
Yes. Yeah, we disagreed on Iowa State, Cincinnati, and Texas Tech in Houston.
Okay.
So,
Okay.
So, let me know. I will send that text to you. And so that you have everything right there by you. So then if you are keeping a focus on Georgia, you do have at least half those scores that you can sit there and look at.
And that's what I keep doing because my biggest thing is I'm like, how close am I getting to the score? And I saw that Oregon game and I was like.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm done. I'm done for the week.
And so with that, Patrick, let's jump over to the NFL. So, Aaron, going back to your comments that you had made earlier when you was talking about the Cardinals and that offensive coordinator. But he had made mention to when we were talking about Kyler Murray and whether or not Kyler Murray this step. Kyler's still a question mark to me, but
it's not a big question mark like it used to be.
No, yeah, no. The offensive coordinator has been bad.
Yeah. Believe me, I know how that feels, Aaron.
Yeah,
it's B.O.
Yes, and so when you have the offensive coordinator, kind of the conservative play calling again. And you decide that you really don't want to open it up until it's probably too late. If you have to come in there, and I'm not saying just go overboard aggressive with everything, but can you at least throw some downfield passes? If you have people there, 8-9 people in the box, take a shot. You have to back them up. You cannot let them play the defense where they have all these people in the box to stop your running game. And also to take away the running threat that Kyler Murray has. That's what we were doing when we, as in the 49ers, when we played them in week three. That's what the Seattle Seahawks did on that Thursday night game. And then all of a sudden, when they were down 20-6, hey, let's open it up. Crazy to me. why does it take that for you to open it up? He also brought up Robert Saleh, who is now the defensive coordinator for the 49ers. He had made some comments about Liam Cohen and them basically being good at time stealing. And Jacksonville came in there. Jacksonville, look, I got to see that whole game. Jacksonville played like a team who had their coaches back.
Yeah.
And they took it to us. And they played a cleaner game. They played a more complete game. They had a punt return for a touchdown. They forced four turnovers. Yeah, four turnovers. And they played good complimentary football and was able to pull that game out. And so Liam Cohen was trying to get at Robert Saleh, and he said, keep my name out your mouth. It was caught by a whole bunch of people. And they had to hold them back. And so, look, I take it. Stuff like that, Patrick, I don't know. I take that as a compliment. I'm like, yeah, I'm not really worried about what other people say like that. If they're going to come out here and take a shot. You know, I'm catching strays for no reason, man. whatever. Yeah. Yeah, right. So it's just, I don't know. Like, if that's where we're
going. Hey, now, if you're going to throw shade on me, cool. It's hot in Florida, man.
Yeah.
The way I look at it, I mean, I don't care. Say whatever you got to say. Whatever. Here's my thing. I'm too old for that crap. I don't give a crap. Right. You want to throw shade on me? Throw it. It's hot. It's still in the 80s down here. I'm good. Throw it. Throw it on my way. You know, I always tell people, like, they're like, oh, well, I'll tell the whole world. But tell them. I need the clout. You know? People might follow if you throw it out. Throw it out there. What's the hold up?
And then he brought up he said ties are worse than a loss. So he's talking about the Packers Cowboys game that ended in a 40-40 tie.
So Packers, yes, ties are worse than losses.
Yeah.
The Cowboys, hey, it ain't a win. I get it. But it ain't a loss either.
So this goes back to the theme about coaching, Patrick. It's overtime. You decide if you're the head coach for the Green Bay Packers, Matt LaFleur, you say, give Dallas the ball first. So Dallas gets the ball first, they get a field goal. The way that play calling went, it's almost like he was playing for the tie. Mm-hmm. And the clock management at the end was, it almost cost them the game. Because almost. They sat there, they ran a play, and they had 1 second left. And it took them forever to run that play. I just... That was horrible. That was pathetic.
Yeah.
And you're in overtime. You have a chance to win right there. And you decide that you're going to just go in there. You have 5 minutes. Yeah, like after the Cowboys scored that field goal, they had 4 or 5 minutes left. And you're playing for the field goal there. That right there, Patrick, is why. I mean, when all these people after the first 2 weeks of the season, and all these people were saying, oh, yeah, Green Bay looking tight. They're going to waltz to the NFC Championship game beyond. I don't know who could beat this team. This right here is why I can't put Green Bay there. Yeah. Because their coaching is suspect in situational football. So many of these games come down to what you do in clock management and money time situations. Because the talent pool is pretty well divvied out. There's not a bunch of gap. I know when you look at some of the records, it turns out that way. But if you're going through and you're watching these games, and you can say the same for college football. When you're going through and you're watching these games, they're close. These are one-score games in most cases.
Yeah, and a lot of these times, you're looking at these teams that you're like, nah, they shouldn't win it all. Now they're winning. You know, one of the best things. I mean, it's like I had this conversation with somebody. I was like, one of the best things that happened to college football, and the worst thing that happened to college football, was NIL. The reason why is because when you look at these high power teams like your Alabama's, Georgia's, Ohio State's, Michigan's, those teams, they used to be so deep. I'm talking like you could probably put the third string quarterback on the first string of anywhere else. You know what I mean? Now they're not as deep as they used to be. And teams like Vandy is coming up, and Penn State is coming up and making these huge bids for these spots. With the NFL, these teams are making so much money, they don't care about the salary caps anymore. They'll just take the luxury tax and put whoever they want on their team, especially people like Jerry Jones. And I'm still huge on saying, like, that Dallas team is probably statistically one of the best teams in the NFL, literally. But as long as Jerry Jones owns that team, or the Joneses owns that team, they'll never win another Super Bowl.
Yeah, and like, to me, you know, for them to end at a tie, I think there's a lot to be told from that tie. Mm-hmm. And it shows to me, I don't see the Packers being what everyone says they are. And I mean, I didn't have them there anyway. Like, if they were going to play the Eagles, for an example, and yes, I know the Eagles haven't looked the best this year, but if they're playing the Packers, and they will play later on in Lambeau Field this year, but I would pick the Eagles. I mean, it's not a doubt for me, because coaching matters. I know everybody wants to talk about the players all the time, but the coaching is so important.
And the coaches still make the decision.
Exactly.
You're going to go for one, or you're going to go for dose.
And the player, and if the coaching if it's not matching what those players are doing, then it's going to be a loss. If those coaches cannot put the players in the best position to win, or they're playing, or they're coaching scared. Look, bottom line, look, you have Jordan Love as your quarterback, and you are paying Jordan Love a bunch of money. You cannot have him go out there playing for the tie.
No.
Well,
I don't care who your quarterback is. You don't go out playing for a tie.
You don't play for a tie.
I don't. It's like I always tell people, like, I don't start a business to break even.
Right. Yeah. So, nah, not terrible. On Matt LaFleur's part, was very, very conservative in overtime.
You got to go for it. I mean, either you win or you lose. Ties.
Yeah, I'm not feeling that either. And then, I mean, looking at some of these other games here. So the Jets Dolphins game from Monday night, that was, I don't know if you saw it, but that was a nasty, nasty leg injury.
Yeah.
For Tyreek Hill. I mean, I was watching that live, and they just showed the shot, and my man's holding his leg, and it's dangling.
Yeah.
And I said, oh my goodness, Aaron, really? You live, you gotta live and die by the sword, sponsored by Twister. So I was watching.
Finally, there's that comment that cracks
me. Yes.
If we get one good one, sometimes two or three, but we definitely gotta get one good one from Aaron every week. And there it was. Aaron. Thank you. I've been waiting on it too. I've been waiting on it. So.
That is bad, but yes,
that was a good one.
But that was nasty to see that live. And look, I can watch these games, especially when we were in our 20s, Patrick. I could watch these games. I could see it through some injury, and I'd be like, oh my goodness, that's effed up. Now I see these, I'm like, oh!
Oh, dude, I don't watch. I didn't even watch it. I flipped on the TV. I saw his leg, and then I turned it off. Like, I don't even want to see how it happened. Done. Turn it off.
Yeah, and then he said,
there. And
it really yeah, I'm coming out with that same leg.
Oh my god. So yeah. Other than that, Aaron. Wow. We got the Chiefs throttled the Baltimore Ravens.
Oh yeah,
throttled. And oh, and on that note, so Aaron left another comment. He said, "I am forever numb after the Kevin Ware injury." Yes, I remember watching that live too. That was gross. That was gross. Him running toward that sideline when he was playing for Louisville and they were playing in that Elite Eight game against Duke. Yeah, that's something that kind of sticks in my mind too. That was nasty. It snapped like a twig.
That is one of the biggest reasons why I do not watch the replay. Yeah. It's because of that injury. I will not watch replays. Like I'll show my wife sometimes like something and then I'm like holding the phone up like this. And I'm like, do you see it?
Yeah.
It's nasty, isn't it?
and that's another thing too. This might get me started on a rant, so I'll try to be short. But when the NCAA tries to come through and say we're going to vacate Louisville's title that year and these games never happen, you're going to tell Kevin Ware those games never happen?
Oh, yeah.
Give me a break. Give me a break with that.
Oh, but those games never happen and be like, oh, I can walk again?
Right, yeah.
Hey, NCAA?
So, no, not going to do that. Better yet, they get a shout each other. I might make it a shouty. But we got to get more into those shouties anyway. So, yeah, that might be a subject. If it isn't already, I have to go back and see. Because I'm sure we got shouties.
I mean, I think you've already talked about that one time.
Yeah, I mean, like, we got
shouties. Hey, look, you know what? You might have a different opinion on it. Do it again. I would do the PETA one over again, but I don't have a different opinion. They suck.
No, you could find another animal to say instead of the rat. Rat,
Peter.
but yeah, that injury from Tyreek Hill, really nasty to see. And then the Chiefs throttled the Ravens. I'll just say this about the Chiefs. The people coming out here waiting for the Chiefs' demise, it's going to be a long wait, y'all. I'm sorry. Yeah. They're not going anywhere. Not as long as they have Andy Reid as their coach, Patrick Mahomes as their quarterback. They still have a good defense. They're not going anywhere, man. And yesterday or on Sunday, they beat the Ravens pretty good. Like that score, that 37-20 score, it wasn't that close. Mm-hmm. The Chiefs ran Baltimore out the stadium. And look, you and I, Patrick, we have Baltimore going to the Super Bowl. We're not coming off of that yet.
No.
But
the Chiefs, well, but let me tell you, man, they better do something different because losing ain't going to get you to the Super Bowl. No, that's for sure.
It's not. And with Lamar Jackson, and he has a hamstring injury, they're saying he can miss 2 to 3 weeks. I'll say this about Lamar Jackson. When the big games, you get into these games against the Chiefs and the Bills, you can't be a turnover machine. And in a lot of those games, he's turned the ball over a good amount of times. And when you're playing teams like the Chiefs, they're going to make you pay. You give them extra chances. You give them points.
Yeah, you give extra chances to the teams like Buffalo, the Chiefs. Right now, I mean, there's quite a few teams, Eagles, Buccaneers. You give them extra time. I mean, look at what the Eagles and Buccaneers did. Eagles gave the Buccaneers that second chance, and look what they did in the third quarter. It'll happen fast, and Baltimore can't continue to keep doing that and expect to win. They got it. I don't know. I was looking at it. Is it time for Harbaugh to move? I mean, it might be close. You know what I mean?
I feel, I can tell you, Patrick, I feel
I feel a lot more on the side of yes, it might be time for him to go. Now, before I was like, nah, now Harbaugh, you gotta win a mentality. Because I kind of put him and Mike Tomlin to me are kind of on the same wavelength. Like, I'm not ready to see either one of those guys go yet. But with Harbaugh,
look, it's getting close, man. It's getting close. I mean,
next win right now.
Yeah, they need to have a win next week bad. Because that, I mean, what are they, 1-3 right now?
1-3.
So that means, so they have to have a win next week. Who do they got next week?
Houston.
Okay, so well, how about Houston throttling Tennessee?
And Tennessee.
And Tennessee. Mm.
They might be picking number one again.
Oh, no, I've already got them in the number one slot.
You got it.
But I will say this, man, and we can move on past this week if you're ready. Uh-huh. All I got to say is, hey, shout out to my Falcons for the only team in their division to win this week or last week. Second place. Here we come.
Yeah.
We're coming, baby. We're coming.
You said second.
I don't know how you beat the Vikings, lose to the Panthers the way you lose, and then come out and beat
the Commanders.
The Commanders the way you did. Okay. All right. Well, you know, give us the way I kind of look at it is give us Kansas City from now on and Buffalo and Tampa Bay. Give us those teams because we play better when we play against teams that can play. Like it's moved to the Titans.
What games are you looking forward to next week?
So
I only asked you if I could see a rant develop it. So.
Yeah, it was starting to. As soon as my head starts doing like this, you're like, hey, I'm gonna move you.
Yeah.
Wrap it up, B. Wrap it up. I think one of the best games of the week is gonna be that 49ers Rams game on Thursday night.
Yeah,
that's gonna be a good game.
Go down to the final couple of drives. That's what I expect. The division rivals going at it with each other. You have to see how that injury report's looking because, I mean, we don't have no receivers.
But you know what? Hey, this is the reason why you're in the pros.
Yep.
Right here.
Be ready. Yep.
Be ready. When your number's called, be ready. Hey, look, I remember when Tiki Barber, he waited for his time. As soon as he got his time, he never relinquished that. That's all you need. All you need is an opportunity. All you need is space and opportunity. And there's some wide receivers in San Francisco that have a lot of space and a lot of opportunity. So, hey, knuckle up. Time to go, you know?
Yup.
And then one of the best things I think I've ever seen in my life is the New York Jets about to beat the Saints. You know I can't stand the Saints.
You mean the Giants?
Whatever. It don't matter. It's the only one that they're going to get.
It doesn't matter.
It don't matter. In New York, it don't matter. All I'm saying. All I'm saying is as long as the Saints lose, we're good. Falcons got to win. Saints got to lose. Everything else, whatever.
I think the Broncos-Eagles can be interesting. And that Monday nighter, Chiefs and Jags. Chiefs coming on down to Jacksonville on a Monday night. The Duval County will be ready.
They will.
So that look out, Kansas City. Jacksonville couldn't win that one.
Yeah, I mean Jacksonville could be 4-1 after Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Could be 2-3.
Yeah.
Or Chiefs could be 3-2 and
so could
Jacksonville. Yeah. hey, and don't forget about that Commanders Chargers game, dude.
It'd be a good one.
That's going to be good.
Look, the LA Chargers, and these are frauds, all right? This team is fraudulent. I don't care.
Are they good?
They're fraudulent. Like, they need to show me. Like, look, I need to see at least divisional playoff round from the Chargers before I call them legit. We've been waiting how long for this team?
Somewhere around 10, 15 years.
Okay, so 10, 15 years too long. And so and they start off 3-0, and then they lose to the Giants? They go on the road and lose to the Giants? No, if you are taking that step, Patrick, if you're supposed to be a championship caliber team, you can't lose to the Giants. Sorry, you can't.
Well, you're not going to give the Giants any credit.
A little, yeah. I mean, they showed up.
They did show up. That's all you need the Giants to do. And now all I need the Giants to do is show up one more time.
The Giants did play a good game. I'm not taking it the way they did. But you cannot lose that game if you're the Chargers.
You really can't. No, you really can't. If you're going to be a playoff team, you got to win the games you're supposed to win, and you got to edge out some of the games that you're not supposed to win.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So, well, Patrick, that will conclude this webcast. Before we go, though, what you got coming for ProAd?
So we are still in season 2 of Brantley versus Preston. I just put out I got episode 2 out last week. So episode 3 will come out tomorrow. And then we got two more days of that. And then, October, we're going to start filming. So, well, we'll see how the temperature works out because, man, it is still like 80-something degrees. It's like high 80s, low 90s down here still. So we'll see how the weather goes, but we're hoping to probably start trying to film the kickball game, parents versus kid kickball game next month, since today's the 30th. And then, yeah, go check out our website. We got a website, roepic.com. Go check them out and get some of this swag that we got with this hat. And this hat. And we got some other logos too, so go check them out.
I want my hoodie.
You know what? We're about to get some hoodies. We got some good ones too, man. I need to wear mine next week. I'll wear mine next week.
All right.
That way I can make you jealous and let everybody see the bro epic.
And look, I'm just gonna say, where's mine?
dude, I will tell you though, that hoodie is sick though. I love that. I think it's so comfortable.
And so that's what's coming up for Pro Epic and for BOFA Sports. So when we did the baseball, the MLB playoff preview, there's a nice little show in there that came on out. And Patrick and I were talking about when we can do these extra shows or some of these other shows that aren't part of the normal Tuesday evening webcast. So look out for those. Patrick and I will have a talk about schedules and see where things match on up. And but be looking for those. Again, we don't know the times necessarily. But be on the lookout for shows that may happen on a random Thursday or Friday.
I will say this. If we can do it, the best times I think is going to be like Sunday night and Thursday night, one of those two, because we get some really good views on those times.
So there you have it. And outside of that, hey, we hope you enjoy this edition of the BOFA Sports webcast, and that is what we are breathing on for this evening. Y'all make sure y'all visit the BOFA Sports YouTube channel, smash that subscribe button, and follow the BOFA Sports Facebook page. So everybody take care. Enjoy the games. MLB playoffs, wild card game started today. So I hope you've been able to catch some of those. Been pretty close tight games throughout the day. Pretty enjoyable to watch. Good pitching, by the way.
Yeah, especially that Boston game. That was really good pitching.
Really. And so everybody enjoy those games. Baseball going, football going. Basketball will be starting in a few weeks, and so will hockey. So you will have all four major North American sports going in a few weeks. So everybody take care. Enjoy the game. Lots of good sports on. And we will be here to keep track of it all for you. So until the next time, everybody take care. Have a great rest of the week.
Get Charles to do that Discord and go Dawgs!